Hello and welcome to episode 78 of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where tonight we will be doing our post-show interview with Ryan Donaldson of Game Nation fame. But before we have Mr. Donaldson on to talk about Game Nation, where it's going, how the show was, etc., my co-host Brian and I will regale you with tales of our past week with our Weekly Geekly, Geekly Weekly Roundup. Brian, what have you been up to since last week?
Well, a good portion of my roundup is going to be discussed with Ryan because Game Nation Celebration was such a huge part of my week. Getting ready for that, traveling over there, the 2 days of gaming nerddom that followed. So I guess we'll cover that then. Other than that, I've been trying to keep up with Borderlands 2 Loot Hunt, which today can fuck itself because I'm not killing that Duke of Work again, ever.
Yes.
That mob is unsolvable. I have a better chance killing Terramorphous.
If we get out of here in time tonight, maybe we can kill that guy. I hate that guy with a passion.
I did take the plunge, so to speak. I canceled my PlayStation 4 reservation.
Whoa, bold.
That's I looked at the launch title. There's just nothing that I'm even interested in playing coming out for like the next month or two. I'm gonna pick up a hot new TV first, and then I'll get the system. And I'm absolutely sure I'll buy it, but not right away. So
that's cool.
And cool Kickstarter. I picked up Monsters and Maidens, which is one of those cool dice only game that people are so excited about lately. Looks like fun. You're a knight or a monster fighting over a lot of maidens, apparently. There's a nearly endless supply of maidens to be rescued or kidnapped.
That's good. I mean, if there's one thing I like in my adventures, it's a surplus maidens. Plenty of maidens to go around.
Looks like that won't be a problem. And that kind of wraps it up. Like I said, you know, 90% Game Nation.
Yeah, Game Nation has pretty much been the highlight for me as well this week. Although I did commit myself to the PlayStation 4, I purchased Killzone 4 and the camera device, really only for the sake of parity with the Xbox. I don't really know what I'm going to do with that thing. But it was for sale, and I have it. And I've been doing a little more gaming. I've been playing some Battlefield 4 on the Xbox 360. Doing a little bit of loot hunting with you on Borderlands 2. So just some basic gaming, keeping things together, and slacking off on the reading again, which is always good.
You got to keep it balanced.
That is the truth. I want to say that I did something else really cool, but it's completely eluding me right now. So, no, that's it, just gaming. Pretty cool. I haven't seen any movies, and there's some hot stuff out we got to see. We got to see we got to see Thor, that's going to be coming out. And what's the other one that just recently came out?
Ender's Game.
Oh, yeah, Ender's Game, which I'm told does not completely screw over the story from the book. So we might have to see that and report on that in our next episode. But before we start planning for the next episode, I think we should welcome our guest, Ryan Donaldson, so he can relive with us our adventures at the first ever Game Nation Celebration. Okay, so now we're happy to welcome back Ryan Donaldson of Game Nation. Hello, sir, and welcome back once again.
Happy to be here. Every time it's been an absolute blast, and I'm just happy to get the opportunity once again to meet with everybody.
Yeah, well, this meeting is a little bit different because we've actually now met. You had an encounter with Brian out in the real world, but my first time meeting you was at the first ever Game Nation Celebration, which we are on the heels of as we speak.
Yeah, the event was everything that we hoped it could be. It was spectacular. You know, we got to have the communication with our guests and attendees that we always wanted, our fans and our friends. And we really got to just blow up and sell out everything that we wanted to. The music event, you know, we sold out the music event, and that was really major important to us. And, you know, we got a lot of help from our two major stars there, you know, Brental Floss from What If Video Games Had Lyrics, and he's also on iTunes, as well as DJ Cutman, who's a pioneer of both chiptune and dubstep, which was kind of fun.
yeah, that rounded out our evening, actually, the performances by those two artists. I guess I'd like to recap sort of how everything went from both our perspective and yours, kind of end to end. But I guess so, to start with, it sounds like things went well for you guys. That you would consider this a success.
Oh, huge success. I mean, as we stated a few times, we were able to effectively utilize our intellectual property, give people a taste of what they can kind of expect, not just from the interactive experiences, from the role-playing game and the kind of quality that we intend to bring to the table with our first-person rides and attractions and the entire interactive experience that we bring to the table.
And this first celebration event, this was like the beginning of the snowball rolling. So from this is going to come sort of your more permanent presence where you're going to be actually sort of brewing up a lot of your technology, attractions, et cetera. And then from there, you're just going to, I mean, I don't know how much we could disclose, but you've got a whole plan that basically takes you over the course of a few years from this to your eventual theme park, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. We have had an enormous amount of success in that area. But I would really say that our start really started on social media and just going to conventions and talking to people about it. I mean, now our social media reaches about 200,000 people. But the event itself was very key to our future, because from this event, it does, in fact, begin a massive snowfall. I would say more of an avalanche into the Game Nation Arena, which is a huge experience where we're actually going to build and test some of the different parts of our model and send that out to express to people. And you can find out more. We're actually going to be doing a lot of awesome stuff here in the next near future, such as showcasing what an actual day in the park will look like, a little animated short so that people can understand it transparently. There's some revamping of different key pieces so that we can transparently explain to everybody, this is what happened. So we have a post, kind of the same way that some cons do, like a post-exit video. We're actually doing a graphic novel to finish up the Ride of the Starved, including some of the people who won different things at the event.
Okay, so just to basically recap, the next big thing for you guys is sort of a facility or a permanent place where it's going to sort of double as a kind of a showcase for what you're working on and kind of what, like an R&D lab or a secret headquarters type of thing?
Far, far bigger. I think we say it best, and it's like Microsoft GameWorks meets kind of a Disney Quest type of feel. But it's far bigger than that and far, far different. We're taking the interactive experiences that we've done and that we intend to continue to do and snowballing that into a more permanent placement where you can go at any time to experience really the true magic of Game Nation. On top of that, we have had overwhelming support towards doing a more fully functional 3-day event or 2-day event regarding the interactive experiences. So you should be looking up for some excellent announcements in that area.
Cool. Okay. So it was understatement on my part, but that's great. So you're off.
All I'm saying is that I said there was going to be a bounce house. I brought the bounce house.
Hey, you delivered. You met all of our expectations, I must say.
So where did you guys start off your adventure at Game Nation Celebration?
Well, Brian, I think, gravitated towards a particular, what do you want to call it, attraction or group of people that were there, Brian? Your LARP radar kind of went off, right? Your LARPing radar, and you...
Yeah, it did, actually. The boffers, especially. I kind of made it a point to head straight to them.
Yeah, those guys actually were really wonderful. I mentioned, I believe it was last time I was here, that I had a new passion of Dystopia Rising, the zombie apocalypse, and a 3-day experience out in the woods, which is really cool. They're very like-minded people, and they actually came and ran our boffer arena, which was absolutely wonderful. They had some more eclectic, fun, zombie-related weapons. Like, they had a little hatchet-looking boffer weapon, and they had a shovel, and those were kind of cool, too. That was actually right beside our sponsors, Balls, the energy drink, Balls Guarana. They literally pulled out no expense to not only give us a bunch of really cool swag, like USB drives that looked like little glass bottles, but as well, balls rolled in very heavy with a large amount of their energy drink, which was amazing because, one, I wanted to keep hyper the entire event. But, two, we put it right beside a bounce house in a buffer arena so everybody could work out that energy.
I got to say, Brian and I were fortunate enough to meet the representative from Balls that was there, and he, while we were at the bar, and he had them mix us up a couple of nice drinks using a base of Balls and some alcohol. It was a good time.
Anybody who goes to a lot of cons, whether they're anime, gaming, or all that, you've probably heard of Balls. People who really stay shut in their house, probably not as much. They are making a major push to get back into Florida because they've received a lot of love and a lot of want to have them back. So Game Nation is really kind of helping out and supporting that. And also, you know, they are interested in being a part of it. So if you want, we actually have a excellent program where you can assist Game Nation earn some of that sweet acclaim that some people were able to accumulate at the event, which is a currency that allows you to measure your activity and spend it for awesome real life rewards in the future. But as well, you actually get to go and help out Balls and get their product in more places if you're a very big fan of it like I am.
I found it to be a quality product. I enjoyed it. And I was able to snag a premium piece of swag in the form of one of those thumb drives you mentioned. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. Balls delivers an excellent product, and it was very tasty. And they were very kind to deliver and really just shell out a large amount of their delicious, delicious drinks. We had root beer, cherry, you know, the regular. They actually, special for some of our founding members, are diabetic, and Balls Extra is their sugar-free, very, very delicious drink. A lot of people do it the same way that some people mix the sugar-free Red Bull kind of thing, but
yep,
Balls Extra, definitely a way to go if you follow that. If not, it's still really good if you're a diabetic, and it comes in a sexy glass bottle.
That is what I had. I had the extra, and I found it quite delightful. So cool. Major props to Balls for keeping us refreshed and energized during the convention. So I think our next stop after the Boffer Arena was we were ushered into a room where the keynote speech was taking place. The room was full of important people from Fort Myers, and I believe even your state representative was there.
Yeah, our secret VIP. Yes, we had a secretive investors and very important people. Tim Snell, again, was there, but so were a large amount of incredibly, I don't want to say famous people, but I would say that they're actually very, very well known in the business world. We had the state representative there, and yes, the mayor was also present. And after we spoke about all the wonderful things that Game Nation does that nobody really ever gets to hear about, you know, how job creation and all of that, and what kind of an impact we can cause to Florida and to America, then the state representative and the mayor came and backed our words, saying, you know, they were very, don't quote me on this, but that they were very enthusiastic about what we were doing for the future of Fort Myers, Florida, and as well the country.
You guys did discuss some pretty impressive job.
Yeah,
numbers.
There were some.
Yes, we did. Those are secretive things that we try to only tell about in boardroom meetings because those usually tend to bore normal people. But they are, they really are really awesome things, and it's awesome to always be able to do our part to help create new jobs. We know that, especially amongst the gamer community, I know that even I myself spend a little bit of time without employment, and me and most of my friends at one point in time, though that has since changed a little while ago and before I began my ascent and then into Game Nation, where I currently reside.
We spent a few minutes with the volunteers at the Starved, and they were just, I think they were hopped up on Balls. They were just so excited to be a part of the Starved and talking about, maybe we'll get jobs because of this, maybe they'll remember us, maybe we can work at the park. Like, it was really cool.
Yeah, we would prefer to pull that from a team of volunteers because we already know they're reliable. And that they even when they're not necessarily available to be hired, that in the future, you know, we keep a list and we like to keep rewarding those people. We had a pretty large amount of volunteers for the size of our event. I think we had a volunteer for every five people, which is pretty good. And we wanted to make sure there was a big horde of zombies to swarm people with.
There were a lot of zombies.
Yeah, that actually brings us to the Starved, which was the, and feel free to jump in with a more apt description than this. I will say interactive experience.
Yes. No, it is definitely experiential entertainment. That's the really the future of entertainment. In fact, Mark Cuban on Shark Tank recently just invested in a company that does experiential entertainment, I think about $2 million, and he was quoted saying that it's the future of entertainment as well. And one of the things that makes that really powerful for us is that we knew that we were already on the right track. I mean, we knew we were on the right track, but it's always awesome to have one of Forbes' top 10 saying that our model is at least pointed in the right direction. The Starved is really amazing for us for several reasons. One, it's our intellectual property. You know, we got to play around with our characters, and those characters were built and created for our role-playing game, which is essentially the ability to play video game characters in a role-playing game seamlessly, or your own character, which is definitely encouraged. And so The Starved is set in a dead world called Alaviema, and an infection has burst through and eradicated and devoured everything that exists in that land. And all that is left is the living dead. And the living dead, vampires, zombies, everything that you kind of expect in popular media is literally hunting around, still looking for food. And people got to see them breach into our world to try and fight against it. It was really cool, too, that we had a graphic novel as a prequel. We actually had it. It was only available at Celebration. There's some exclusive collectible type stuff. You read the prequel story that talked about Jakob and his quest for hunger, and Silas and his quest for freedom. And it was pretty powerful. And then it moved into you actually being able to experience those characters, which some people experienced in very different ways, if I remember through your run through.
I think we had a pretty unique experience.
We really did. You tipped us off to a special event that was going to take place during one of the runs. So we got to the location early, and we were going to tag along as sort of just observer press. We didn't want to get in the way of anybody's experience. We just wanted to see how it all went down from sort of an outsider's perspective. Well, the head of the group that was actually doing the soldiering, if you will, had a great idea that instead of just being like detached bystanders, we should just be inserted smack dab in the middle of this craziness. So Brian and I, yes, we were embedded journalists, or I should say embedded survivors. We became, we were transformed from, podcasters to these people who managed against all odds to survive in the midst of this invasion. And the adventurers, or the heroes, if you will, encountered us at a certain point, and through their bravery and skill in battle, escorted us to safety. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
I'll set the pace for everybody who's listening in so they can understand exactly how this went down from the perspective of the people who attended this ride, and where you popped up in the middle, because we were all very surprised that there were living people there. Just we had camera crew with us because, as I told everybody, I'm going to be on the run, and we want to make sure that we have things documented, you know, vice president, ha ha ha. Everybody expected it. Everybody's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You're a vice president. Of course you'd have camera crew with you. So that was not at all the reason why they were there. And we'll get to that in a second. So we all get on a van. We're kidnapped from the location of the rest of the event and informed that we were the wrong people and that we were not supposed to get into the van, that instead, actually, they were supposed to get these Project Daylight soldiers that have all manner of experience fighting undead creatures, living dead creatures, vampires, zombies, you name it. And they had found a new breach of a new type of vampire zombies. They're not sure. They don't have much intel on it. But everybody else that was sent before us has died. So then we arrive at the location. They suit us up. They give us some quick weapon safety training. They give us some armor. They impress upon us that we are about to go either attempt to make other people die for our country or die for our country ourselves. And everybody's eating it up. They're loving it. They're loving it. We burst through a staircase. We're running up. We're running up through a door. Zombies everywhere. We're shooting back and forth. People are calling out commands like, Alpha, clear this room. Bravo. Watch their back. Bravo. Move forward. Clear the room. And then we open a door. And one McLaughlin, one of the sergeants, is like, show me your hands. Show me your hands. And we're like, it's a zombie. Shoot it. It's a zombie. Shoot it. And then all of a sudden, here's these two journalists walking out there like, no, we didn't want to be here.
what's going on, guys? And then I looked, and there were two wonderful podcasters that were trapped in an area where they really shouldn't have been. So we escort them, and McLaughlin screams out, "They're civilians, you know, protect the civilians, make sure they get to the end." And I'm like, extra side quest, this is great. We continue our way through checking rooms, slaughtering zombies. We got to have a sweet monologue battle with some sort of a mid-boss guy until somebody chucked a hatchet at him and then or a grenade or something. I don't remember. It was very, very precise, but also very hectic from an experiential standpoint because it was really cool and really immersive. And then we fought our way all the way down to what was effectively the boss area. We were told that there was a portal in there to hold our fire, make sure to watch out what was going on. We burst in through the door. There's this guy in a crown, which is directly from the graphic novel, and he starts harassing us verbally. And one of our people that was attending this special run of The Starved, and Fleet was the kind of wordy monologue guy. He collected that dude's sword, and that's exactly what was supposed to happen, which let everybody know that was the guy that needed to be challenged to a duel. So the boss suddenly says, "You, I challenge you to a duel. It will be me versus you in a fight to the death. If you do have anything you want to say." He's like, "Actually, I do have something I want to get off my chest because I can't do this alone." And then he turns to his beautiful girlfriend, Ebi, and says, "Ebi, will you take my hand in marriage? May I take yours?" And he takes the knee, pops out the ring. She says yes. They get all googly-eyed for a brief moment. So now Cody LeBlanc and Ebi Steck are now engaged to be married. And just as they were enjoying their pretty moment, all of a sudden the boss, right back in, just flips the table and screams, "All right, I've had enough of all this beautiful stuff." And just they battle, and everything gets really hectic. And I don't want to ruin it for everybody else who intends to experience The Starved in the future, but there's a lot of portal exploding and more zombies and more vampires and a lot of slaughter. And now two people are engaged right in the end of The Starved.
And that touching moment was the sort of tip we received at the beginning. So we were in for what we thought was going to be a pretty cool experience to actually see a couple get engaged mid experience, if you will. But then on top of it, we got to even participate. So it was awesome.
Yeah, we were really thankful to Cody and Ebi, actually. They were part of some of our original Game Nation test group for many of the different, you know, role-playing parts. They got a chance to talk to us about our founding membership, and they gave feedback, and they're actually part of some of the same group that some of our original founding members are from. Because of that, we wanted to do a little something special for them when we heard that they were having a beautiful moment.
Yeah, that was really cool. Speaking of founding members, would you say that a sizable percentage of them were there, and were they pretty satisfied with the way things were going in the inaugural event?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about 80-90% of all of our founding members were there, and not just because additional people bought founding memberships once they saw how cool the event was. That really meant a lot to them. Not just a VIP party that happened around 11, but also the next day we told them during our keynote speech that we were going to do our first inaugural Game Nation assembly, and that was really powerful for them. So many of them immediately bought founding memberships and attended the next day event, which was really cool of them. Even people who had you are a guest pass of Ryan Donaldson and such, even those people who could have literally come anyway, decided to still shell out a little cash to get that prestigious title.
Very cool. The founding membership, of course, has the benefit of immortalizing you in Game Nation lore, right?
Yeah, that is one way to say it. It helps you drive the creative direction of the Game Nation theme park. We have a whole setup that allows us to be able to communicate with founding members specifically, and not as more of a proven fan that's not just somebody who's out to troll people, and get direct feedback on what they'd like to see more of, as well as kind of some VIP access as a thank you from us to them. They get a lot of special benefits, just like anybody who was a founding member just got to come into the event for complimentary. And that's a consistent thing through the different founding memberships, is even the highest end is unlimited access to all the Game Nation events forever.
And there's one more important aspect of founding membership, which is you get to attend the first ever Game Nation Assembly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The Assembly was very, very wonderful. We did get to elect our first ever Voice of the People, Bastion, which is really cool. A Voice of the People's duties are to have a second level of communication between us as Game Nation and our fan, guests, patrons, all of that, which is really powerful for us. Not that you couldn't communicate with me as the vice president of storytelling and fandom. It is my prerogative to consistently go out and meet with everyone and kind of feel where they're at, always touch base with them and be a part of the communities, niche markets or otherwise. But a Voice of the People is supposed to come and do the same thing from a fan perspective, from the patron perspective, not as a corporate member of Game Nation. And that's really powerful, and people are always willing to speak to that. We also got to have our first ever vote outside of that, and we had kind of one of those basic laser tag or airsoft discussions, and the responses we got were very different than what I expected. It's everything that I hoped that we'd get, because we actually had a discussion. We called that up to the table to discuss the future of interactive experiences and what people enjoyed more, just so that we could have real detailed results on what people enjoyed. And it wasn't just responses of this or that. It was very detailed responses. We like this because of, we like airsoft because of these key reasons, but here's its problems. We like laser tag because of these key reasons for the and these problems. So we got to find out and kind of mix and match what it is that what everybody enjoyed and get real live feedback, very, very detailed feedback. Feedback that honestly, when I had professional companies pull reports of these pros and cons, they were not able to give me those answers. So it has already been proven incredibly successful to allow our fans, our guests, our patrons, and all those wonderful people in our Game Nation Assembly the ability to drive the creative direction in the way that they did. And we listened to them as a company. We did listen to their feedback, and we started compiling our reports based on it.
Yeah, it was really cool to see how people participated and kind of came up with a solution for how to implement basically combat during the experiences.
Yes, everybody has their own very particular experience of what they expect from a video game theme park or what video game mechanics translate to people in real life. So we got to have that discussion, and we got to have it, and it was very productive. We got to all have it over food.
Very yummy food.
Some food, by the way. Yes, yes, we agree. I don't know what that sauce was made of that you dip the croissants in, but that was out of control.
Yes, yeah, the food at Hotel Indigo in their bistro is very, very delicious. And we wanted to make sure that, by the way, they helped us, you know, put on this event. They did a lot of wonderful stuff for us. They gave us some of their media budget and all that. So they've been very, very wonderful and very supportive of us. Also, when we told them that we wanted to do an afters in a very traditional fashion, which for everybody who's a LARPer or a hardcore gamer or goes to cons or whatever, you know that the choice is a diner like Denny's or IHOP, or if you're somewhere else, you just go to a normal diner and not those two iconic ones. And we were like, hey, we want food that kind of resembles Denny's or IHOP, but tastes like real food. And they're like, oh, yeah, we have eggs and all bacon and these awesome croissants and clips.
That was pretty fancy. So one other thing I wanted to talk about was and you mentioned them at the beginning of our discussion, was the musical acts, Brental Floss and DJ Cutman. I enjoyed both acts. And what made them interested in kind of participating in Game Nation?
Actually, in a very awesome way, Brental Floss, I was a fan of. I listened to What If Video Games Had Lyrics. There's some hilarious songs about Mega Man and Castlevania and just a lot of the really iconic old Super Nintendo or regular Nintendo games. And I sent him a message directly, said, you know, hi, my name is Ryan Donaldson. I was not a vice president at the time. I was actually our master storyteller. I just kind of wrote our lore and kind of designed our Cinderellas. And he was like, you're building a video game theme park. What is this amazing thing? I want to be part of this. How can I help? Can I come do music? And I was like, absolutely. We will fly you down here. And our relationship really just continued from there. The other, DJ Cutman, the dubstep and chiptune kind of pioneer, is an excellent DJ who does Nerdapalooza a lot and kind of does a little bit of touring. He's his own record label for him and a few others. And they came highly recommended from somebody who attended Nerdapalooza, so I just reached out and contacted them in a more professional manner.
Well, those were very good connections. I thought that they actually – that was a perfect way to end the day's festivities on the first day prior to the assembly the next day. So that was really good. So you see pulling in more musical acts of that kind in the future?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think we really – first off, Brental Floss is hilarious. Brent really – he put on a very funny show. And even though it was more serious, I really enjoyed DJ Cutman's show as well and thought that the two of them together make something that's very amazing. So I think that they'll be around with Game Nation for a little bit longer. But we're not opposed to gathering additional entertainment, and we've already taken some steps to talk to certain people that we're not ready to disclose yet.
You'll need your own collection of theme songs and everything for all the different lands in the eventual park. So good to forge these alliances now.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some people, for example, Brent Black, Brental Floss, he actually has been engaging in making some of that music for video games. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but I know that he has done a few things and is really expanding out into that area as well.
Well, Brian, you got any further questions before we let this gentleman go and get to his planning for Game Nation's future?
No, I think I'm sufficiently overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed is a good way to put it. I came away with a very positive positive feeling for where you guys are going with this thing, and I'm really legitimately excited to see where it goes in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys very much for coming and visiting, and it was really good to see you. Even though I did fail, there was one thing that I promised and I did not accomplish. I'm very sad about it. I did not bring my copy of Deadpool for I think Brian.
Yeah.
To play.
Yeah, you did that. We definitely put the word out that you are not a keeper of promises. So that's definitely a mark against you.
What really made that sad is we even had Xboxes and video game systems there to enjoy and some casual playing. See, we could have actually late at night just shoved it in one of the Xboxes and we could have been playing at the event itself.
Well, there's always the next event, which we'll be back to for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll make sure that you guys are the first people we talk to.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. The first ever Game Nation celebration and accompanying Game Nation Assembly was an unqualified success, and Game Nation's off to I won't say a start because you got started even before this event, but
yeah,
you are definitely
about 3 or 4 years now we've been working on this entire situation, but we got to explain where everything's going in a much stronger way than we ever have before.
A wind is in your sails, let's say, and you've got some definite momentum.
Yes, we do have definite momentum.
All right, man. Thanks for being on. Thanks for having us to Game Nation Celebration, and look forward to talking to you guys in the future.
And I look forward to when Third Rule is released and we get to actually run a session of it on here.
Another promise we hope you'll keep. Well, cool, Ryan. Thanks for being on, man, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You've all been wonderful. Thank you.
All right, so that concludes our interview with Ryan post-Game Nation Celebration. Any final thoughts or ideas, Brian, about where Game Nation's going in the future?
Nothing that hasn't already been said. I'm just really excited about the whole arena thing, and I'm already wondering what three-day weekend I should block off on my calendar.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to them having a place I can visit. That arena sounds pretty intriguing, so I'm looking forward to learning more about that. And it was cool having Ryan back on, and cool sort of being there at ground zero of Game Nation. I really wish them all the best, and I hope that this enterprise reaches its intended conclusion, which is a awesome video game interactive theme park. I think that would be something I've pretty much dreamt of since I was a kid. So let's look forward to it. Wish them the best. Speaking of the best, dear listeners, if you want more of the very best in podcasting entertainment and can't find it somewhere else, you should probably subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or through whatever other podcatching software you use. Give us a favorable review, etc. And if streaming is more your thing, I encourage you to check us out on Stitcher.
And if you're into social media, like us on Facebook, join our group Clubhouse on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, plus one us on G+, and I keep forgetting what it is, Graham Cracker us on Instagram, all yes. At Nerdstravaganza.
And of course, check out nerdstravaganza.com. And feel free to drop us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. Until next time, we'll be seeing you.